The scripture this morning is from the Gospel of John, the 10th chapter, and the first 12 verses. Very truly, I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way, is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So again, Jesus said to them, "Very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly."
Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I woke early yesterday and thought I would do a little search across the TV channels to see what might be offered in commercials and programs, what was being offered as essential for contentment in modern life. It's a little exercise I do every once in a while just for the fun of it. Early Saturday morning TV is a great place to gauge what our consumer culture wants us to accept as necessary and worthy of our devoted attention. I am confident in a search such as this. I am comforted in a search such as this by the realization that most of us can watch those kinds of programs and see right through the excesses of those infomercials and the home shopping network, but it's good for a little entertainment. Nevertheless, early Saturday morning TV offers a window on the excesses of our culture and its relentless message that abundance is a matter of acquisition. So first up in my channel surfing exercise was the Dyson vacuum cleaner. $500 spent on this vacuum. I cannot imagine spending $500 on a vacuum. $500 spent on this vacuum would ensure that not one single speck of dirt would escape its cleaning process. Not only that, but the Dyson, standing in a prominent place of readiness, would be evidence to all that its owner was above all the rest in devotion to the highest in cleaning technology. Not only would it clean, but owning a Dyson also makes a statement to the world about the character of its owner. The next essential gadget in my video search was the Chop Wizard. According to this infomercial, chopping vegetables with even a high-quality, ordinary kitchen knife poses an unacceptable threat to your safety. You know, I watch these things and I imagine that there must be a special casting organization for klutzes. Do you ever watch those infomercials and how they're contrasting with how difficult it is if you don't use their product, and they show these people totally klutz at slicing a tomato? It's wonderful. But if you don't own the chop wizard, you are accepting an unacceptable threat to your safety. The implication is that if you really love your children, you will waste no time in sending in your 1995 to purchase the chop wizard. Not only will you escape the probable personal injury that you risk, you will also avail yourself of perfectly formed julienne fries every single time. My search went on for nearly an hour, I hate to tell you that, but these things capture my imagination, you know? I found specialty cookers that made perfectly formed omelets, pizzas, and grilled sandwiches all on one machine, all on a dishwasher-safe removable liner. I found exercise machines that promised within 90 days to transform even the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man into a physique worthy of GQ magazine. I found breathless announcers rapidly proclaiming that happiness requires each and every one of these gadgets, devices, or programs. It's there. Just watch it. Well, to most of us, these appeals are more amusing than serious. I doubt that many of us devote any real attention to these things. Nevertheless, the fact remains that we live in a culture that understands abundance as a matter of quality, quantity, and abundant life as a matter of acquisition. I stumbled over that, so let me say it again. We live in a culture that understands abundance as a matter of quantity and abundant life as a matter of acquisition. And I proclaim to you this morning that such an understanding has nothing to do with what Jesus meant when he said, "I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." So this is a sermon about abundant life as Jesus offers it, not as Ron Popeil might pitch it on television. In the past, many of us have assumed that Jesus was talking about the abundant life that will come in the sweet by and by when we meet on that beautiful shore. And I have no doubt that that is part of the message, but words can have multiple meanings, and I, for one, have always been more interested in what my Christian faith means for the living of these days. There is nothing in this text that stops us from asking what abundant life means for this moment. And asking that question does not mean that we expect anything less in the glory that is to come. But for me, the imperative focus for my life has been, what does being a Christian mean for the day in and day out living of my life? Well, one thing is clear in this text: the abundant life of which Jesus speaks is a life that will never, ever show up on early Saturday morning television. Abundant life, as Jesus offers it, is a life that never loses its focus on Jesus and the God of love revealed through him. Jesus uses the metaphor of shepherd and sheep, and he speaks of our relationship to him as like the relationship between a good shepherd and their sheep. It is a deep relationship in which trust overwhelms fear and which is available to all who will follow. It affirms the authentic nature of Jesus' relationship to God. It calls us to live in a community, that being the church, that receives its identity through Jesus' own gift of his life to us. To be a member of Jesus' flock is to know oneself as being among those for whom Jesus was willing to die. Abundant life, therefore, as Jesus presents it, is life so centered on God's work in the world that it is not afraid to die. And there's the irony of it all. Abundant life, as Jesus presents it, is life that has no fear of death. It is life that cannot be shaken by the risk of love. It is life that will not be diverted by the false voices of this world. It is life in which generosity is released by the conviction that God owns everything and we are but stewards of God's treasure in this moment. I still remember the peace that came to our hearts when we learned that lesson. And something I wish for everyone to experience. So I was pleased to discover that John 10 is the reading for this Sunday when we present our renewed commitment of support for ministry. Abundant life is a major part of what we are teaching, have been teaching, and you have been responding to. It is an issue of Christian discipleship, not the desperation of the church to reach its budget. Giving is natural for those who remain focused on God's abundant gift to humanity. Giving is our opportunity to serve God in something like the way that Jesus served us. 52 opportunities to serve, said Kathy as she put her box upon the pulpit. Giving is an expression of our appreciation for what we share and what we proclaim. This is life beyond fear, life beyond ego, life beyond privilege. That is the abundant life that Jesus offers. So I woke early yesterday. I thought I would do a little search across the TV channels to see what was being offered as essential for contentment in modern life. And it became immediately clear that nothing being offered had any real or lasting value. It became immediately clear that according to these pitchmen, I should devote my life to salad shooters and exercise machines. And I really cannot imagine that anyone would take these appeals seriously. Nevertheless, there they are, and there is no end to these programs. So it must be that someone is watching. But I have to believe that these programs are the modern equivalent of the thief and the bandit trying to weasel into our sacred space by sneaking in the back way, like the scripture says today. But I'm here to tell you, there is only one real way to the sacred space of life. It is a way available to us all. It is the way of God made known in the life and resurrection of Jesus the Christ. His voice is a voice we all recognize, and he calls all of us to an abundant life. Beyond fear, beyond greed, beyond ego, beyond self. Thanks be to God.